Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Our man Matt George is with us here from his house, not from the ABC 10 studios. Of course, the host of the Locked On Kings podcast as well. Matt, it's nothing is going great. Everybody is at each other's necks here. I come back, Kenny's yelling at Lotus, like it's just awful. But I can't, we're just searching, right? We're searching and we're frustrated, and now De'Aaron Fox is getting brought back into this, and
oh yes,
Zach Let's LaVine and scoring Hell without yeah. winning, and all
Y'all
of these
Mike Brown earlier.
All yeah, well, I know you had some feelings about that, but. I was like, I can remember a time, I'm old enough to remember, a time where this fan base was so agitated by a basketball player who put up big numbers on the offensive end, like points, rebounds, but boy, did they hate his body language. I'm going to challenge every person listening or watching to start paying attention to Domantas Sabonis' body language. I outlined a single stretch of plays. That was not the only one. It's just the one that stood out. We go to that infamous four stretch in the Dallas Mavericks play-in game. If you want to watch body language, let's not watch one guy's body language who was putting up like 26 and 15 on a regular. Let's watch everybody's body language, and let's start Saturday, and let's watch Domantas Sabonis' body language. It sounds like I hate Domantas Sabonis. I absolutely do not. But this is what happens when the team you cover loses, and everybody's upset. And Matt, you started it all because you threw Doug Christie over the bus and just rolled that 18-wheeler right over him the other night.
Me?
Oh,
what
yeah.
What did I do?
You
I've put... I've been defended, Doug. What are we talking about here?
It doesn't matter.
You set the fire. You tried to douse it. Yeah. To your credit, you tried to douse it.
Matt.
I genuinely have no idea what you're talking
Matt
about.
Matt tried to throw a bucket of water on a forest fire.
What did I do?
You put out the quote of the "We should be 4-0, but we're not ready to be 4-0."
Yeah, because he said it.
He did. Nothing wrong with that. You posted context later, but buddy, it was too late.
That's not my fault.
I'm not saying it is, but yo, once again, you just rolled that bus right over.
Aggregation sites on Twitter that don't do anything except take other people's tweets and then tweet it out themselves just because they took it and ran with it. That ain't my problem. Doug Christie said it. I put it out there. It was a bar.
Well, it was a bar, all right.
It was
a bar, and we've had a lot of discussion about what he actually meant by that, or what we think he meant by that. And I just said, you know, he was talking about doing the little things. Just if we do the little things, and they maybe they'd be 4-0, but I think his point would be, I think his point was, we wouldn't be 1-3.
Yeah, I understood everything that he was saying. Like, you know, it just dawned on me that I started the season going downhill and I ruined the Jonathan Kuminga trade.
That is correct.
It's me. It's really me.
If anybody, the drama? Cardi B. Maddie B.
Don't run Zach LaVine out the city. Run me out the city, apparently.
Many people have tried for years.
I'm not heavy. You can throw me. You can pick me up and throw me
By
out.
By the way, good to see you. Good to hear from you here on D-Lo and KC. Yeah.
Okay.
Good point. Great point. Great point.
Hey, you know.
What's in that glass, Matt?
water.
Yeah, right.
I knew exactly what Doug was saying. Like, he was also like quite literally a couple seconds away from being 0-4, but I understood everything. I understood and felt fine about that quote a whole heck of a lot more than I felt about last night's quote. Ooh. Which I did not put out there, by the way, but last night's quote of him saying,
Matt's like, I only set one fire, guys.
Look,
Lorenz Tate in the inkwell.
Setting fires is a little sensitive in California, so I'm not trying to attach my name to that in any kind of way. No, like, I get what he was saying completely. It's we've been in position to win, at least in the first four games. They've been in a position to win all four of those games. If there's one thing I guess you could have counted on with the Kings this season, it's that they're in every single game. Every game is going down to the wire. Then the Bulls game happened, and that just ruined that trend. So that was kind of a stinky way for last night to go. But like, I understood what Doug was saying completely by that quote, and then putting out the full context to even hear him expand on that more. It is exactly the little things. It's we just didn't do in that game in particular. Like, we missed some big shots down the stretch. Going 1 of 10 from the field down the stretch is pretty alarming. But Domantas Sabonis, like, having a rebound ripped out of his hands that results in an Alex Caruso 3. The Kings as a team not securing another rebound off of a missed free throw, right? Like, there's just little things that championship teams do not waste those opportunities. As soon as Sabonis had that ball ripped out of his hands in OKC, it was like, this is a bucket. There's like, teams that are as good as the Oklahoma City Thunder do not waste opportunities when you give it to them. Like, second chance and third chance opportunities, it's a stat they shove at the bottom of a box score. But you could do a case study on that stat alone for teams like the Thunder or championship caliber teams and how many times those second and third chance opportunities, quite frankly, win them games. Like, teams do not take advantage. Same thing with points off turnovers. You give these teams just a little bit of life, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Like, that's just what they do. So I understood Doug's quote completely. I thought what he said made a lot of sense. And it wasn't really sending off alarm bells. It was just like, yeah, they're right there. And to be fair, the OKC game was the best basketball they've played this season. But they just lost to a championship team over the final 6 minutes. Then last night happened, and Doug said that they're getting bored playing well for 15 minutes or maybe whatever it was. And now the alarm bells are definitely going off.
Casey, before you jump, what upset you so much about that? Because it bothered KC a lot too, so I'm curious what upset you so much about that remark from DC last night.
That it sounds like many of the things that Mike Brown said over the last couple of years, and it doesn't have to be a Mike Brown versus Doug Christie thing. In fact, it should be a Mike Brown and Doug Christie versus the problem. That's never been coaching. It's never. I said to you guys this year before the season started, like, there's a lot that. Like, I don't know if Doug Christie can fail this year, because if things go the way that they're going, everybody should look at the consistencies, which is the roster, and the lack of addressing the obvious needs with this roster. Supremely talented roster, and it's absurd to try and put it all on one person. Everybody was going at Domantas Sabonis after the Oklahoma City Thunder game for good reasons and for bad. I see a lot of people, like, when I tuned in, Casey was talking to people that are upset at Zach LaVine. Why are we mad at Zach LaVine? Zach LaVine's been the best player on this team by a wide margin this season. You're mad at Zach LaVine because of his paycheck? Well, guess what? The Bulls gave it to him, so he's not going to say, no, I don't deserve that. And the Sacramento Kings were dumb enough to trade for it. Like, that's not on Zach LaVine. So I'm not mad at Zach. I'm not mad at DeMar. I wish DeMar's shooting percentage would be better in the fourth quarter, because he has not been the closer that the Kings have labeled him to be. But KC, D'Lo, I texted you guys that stat, and my feeling was, is this like DeMar DeRozan is not shooting well enough in the fourth quarter, or the Kings aren't getting him enough shots in the fourth quarter? Like, there's so many different things, aspects of this roster that you can point to and go, it's not working. And that's always been the point. And Mike Brown was it became a meme when he did the possession after possession after possession after possession thing after a game. That's essentially what Doug Christie's saying there, just in a more or easier way to stomach. Like, he's saying, like, we're getting bored by the monotony of just doing things the right way consistently. That was Mike's whole point last season when laying out the possession after possession after possession thing. It's always been a roster issue. It'll continue to be a roster issue. And you're just hoping the Kings can maximize or tread water as best as they possibly can, or not. Keep losing and get a high draft pick and see if that puts you in a better direction.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So,
fifth game of the season. We're talking about losing in draft picks. Yeah. Kenny's on Tankathon already.
Nah, I made my first trip to Tankathon in that mock draft this morning. I'll tell you that. Okay, so if we're going to say things like that, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth or whatever, you obviously can elaborate, but just saying it's the same things Mike Brown said, and it's the same issues that Mike Brown had. Like, saying something like that, let's dive into it, because that's unfair to Zach LaVine, Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook, Drew Eubanks. They didn't play for Mike Brown.
Yeah.
There's two guys that played a majority time with Mike Brown and Doug Christie. And if it's the same issues, we're talking about two guys, and I'm not saying it's their fault, but that, if we're going to use that statement, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Malik and Domas. Those were the two guys. DeMar played with them for a little bit, but Mike was saying this stuff the year before as well. So if it's the same thing that Mike Brown's talking about when he was here and now Doug Christie is Domas and Malik, are they the problem?
I don't think it's that surface level or that easy to label it. I do think Domantas Sabonis is part of the problem. Like, and I've been champion Sabonis for years here in Sacramento, but like, Sabonis is part of the problem. Like, I think it's pretty clear at this point. And as supremely talented of a player as he is, it's obvious that there are shortcomings, there are issues, there's problems with Malik too. Although Malik played his heart out last night in Chicago. Malik was the reason the Kings got back into the game. Like, I was listening to you guys talk it over with the insiders, and James and Kyle were right in saying, man, that first half was so great. The first few minutes weren't. Kings were down 12 in the early going. Who got them back into that game? Malik came in off the bench and gave them life. Malik did his job. Yeah. And I mean, I know the Kings were trying to get rid of Malik, whether it was for financial purposes or an upgrade or whatever. They were trying to get rid of him this offseason, because I don't know how long he fits the long-term plan, but Malik's been up there as some of the best, most consistent Sacramento Kings so far this season, up there with Zach LaVine, in my opinion. I don't look at it as it's one or two guys. I look at it as just a roster construction problem, Kenny. And it's been the same issue that Mike talked about, even Beam Team 1 year, like, where it's an undersized roster. It's a roster that, like, Russell Westbrook has been slotted into the four. And if there's anything I'm comfortable with Russell Westbrook with at the four spot, is the physicality. Like, I know Russ can play physical, but I also know Russ isn't 6'8", 6'9". And the reason why we keep bringing up that number and height is because those extra few paws in advance, those extra few inches on your wingspan make a difference. It really does. Mm-hmm. It makes a significant difference with how you play and how you defend. And the Kings are incapable of playing to the level that Mike wanted them to play to, and seem incapable of playing to the level that Doug Christie wants them to play to, because this roster just doesn't have enough of those guys. And with Keegan Murray out, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And Domantas Sabonis isn't good enough of a defender to make up for that inside in the paint. And as good as Keon Ellis is, he's 6'3", 6'4", maybe, if you want to give him that measurement. Like, the roster just isn't properly constructed to play the way that both Mike Brown and Doug Christie clearly want this team to play. I'm not saying Mike and Doug are the same coaches. They're different in a lot of ways, but they're both very clearly defensive focus. They want to establish a foundation on the defensive end of the floor. How they go about it is different, but the foundation on defense is the same thing. And this roster is incapable of doing that. We've seen it time and time again. I don't know why they thought that adding Dennis Schroeder and Russell Westbrook was going to change it.
So do you think, Doug, we were talking about the little mistakes, right? You're talking about Doug, Mike, preaching the same thing. KC's talking about this is a different roster. It's just really Domas and Malik back. Can those little things that either Mike or Doug are referencing, can those be corrected? Or is this what we are in for the next 70-some-odd games?
I do think they can be corrected. Because again, like going back to just 2 days ago, I felt after that Thunder loss, I was like, darn, but that was good. Mm-hmm. And I said I wanted that game so bad for Doug, because that would have been the perfect game for Doug to tuck in his back pocket and reference every time the Kings hit a snag or a bump in the road over the course of the season. See, here you go. You're capable of doing it. You put together as close to a 48-minute effort as you possibly could. And I do believe, like, with time, these guys are going to get more comfortable playing together. We've already seen, like, Dennis Schroeder and Domantas Sabonis already look more comfortable playing together. That being said, like, the realities of this schedule are the time that it takes you to improve in those areas might put you so far in the cellar in the West that it would be almost human nature for some of these guys to go, what's the point? Like, even if we do improve, like, what's the point? Where are we going? Like, if Kings fans are asking the question every single day, where is this team going? You don't think players are looking around and having the same feeling? Like, I would definitely be in that locker room right now. Not saying that the locker room is already, or Doug is losing the locker room or anything like that, because if anybody checks out on Doug Christie, then they can pack their bags and go. Like, if you check out on another coach, get out. But if they're looking around going, I don't see the plan here, I don't know what the plan is, then, like, they can join the club. Everybody else feels that same way. So I don't know if the Sacramento Kings can survive the time that it'll take for them to get right. Like, until maybe the Hawks game on, I think that's November 11th.
Yep.
The next, what is that, six games, the Kings will be underdogs in all six of those games. They will be. Maybe you get one of them, hopefully two. But even so, like, you're talking being 3, 4, 5 games under 500 when you reach that Hawks game, and nobody would be surprised if the Hawks come into Sacramento and beat you. Like, the Hawks are a good enough basketball team. And then after that Hawks game, it's back out on the road where you've got, what, like, the Timberwolves again, the San Antonio Spurs, the Nuggets for a third time. Like, you could be – people aren't really over-exaggerating when they're saying the Kings might win, like, single-digit games or – Kings might win 3 or 4 games in the month of November in the time that it's taking for them to figure things out while getting healthy and getting Keegan Murray back.
What were some of the things that you were disappointed with, disappointed to see? Obviously the final score, but in that game specifically against Chicago, what were some of the things that was just disappointing to see from that group that maybe we hadn't seen all year long?
Like, the end of that first half, I think was concerning, but you can chalk it up to, okay, the Bulls made a run, and we've known closing has been a big issue for the Kings so far this season. Doug Christie's talked a lot about it, and closing isn't just the fourth quarter. Closing is the first half, right? Like, you build this 12 point lead. Zach LaVine had that dunk with like 3.5 minutes to go to put you up 12. And then you go into the locker room up 2 while shooting 64% from the field. Like, you weren't feeling good about it, but you still had a lead. Okay, they went on a bit of a burst, but we know we can take control. And then you took this 15-minute break where I guess you just sat in the locker room and didn't think about or change anything, because you came out for the second half and it looked like it was a media timeout, or it looked like they just did a lengthy review and the Bulls just picked up right where they left off. And I think it's an extreme, extreme criticism to ever say a team quit. Like, to say a team quit is extreme, and I don't think the Sacramento Kings quit. but I don't think they had very much fight in them in that second half whatsoever. I mean, the fact that the Bulls scored, what, 24 or 26 of their 39 points in the third quarter in the paint, like, that's just the lack of focus, lack of hustle. And then you always hear about, oh, the offense is impacting the defense. Well, the Kings are missing shots, so their defense isn't as good. The defense was impacting the offense. The Kings were playing so bad defensively that offensively they weren't even getting in their sets. They just kind of started chucking. So I just felt that Doug Christie talks so much about winning the fight, winning the fight, winning the fight. And the Kings didn't look like they were up for a fight in that second half whatsoever. They looked like they got pushed down and then they just stayed there while the Bulls kicked them a few times. Like, that's what it looked like. And I talked about this on the podcast last night. I think I always try and identify, like, general managers have a type. Like, there's a type of player that they really, really like. And Monty McNair's type, he loved, like, older draft picks and guards. That was Monty McNair's type. I think Scott Perry's type, in the limited time that I've covered him as the general manager, I think he likes guys that play with a chip on their shoulder. He likes guys like Schroeder. He likes guys like Russ. He likes guys that play with a little bit of meanness, a little bit of physicality. So he went out and got those guys. But I want to see when Matas Buzelis, or however you say his name, is cooking you in Chicago because Colby White is out in the third quarter and making you look like a fool, or Josh Giddey is spinning to the lane and finishing with a fancy layup at the rim. Like, someone do something about it. I don't want anybody to get ejected. I don't want anybody to do a flagrant two foul, draw blood, or do anything dirty, but hit somebody. Put a shoulder into somebody. Send a message. Who's going to do that on this roster? And it made me even think back to, like, when Domantas Sabonis got stomped on in the playoffs. Draymond Green stomped on Domantas Sabonis. After that game, we talked to Domas. It was either after the game or before the next game. Whenever Domas' next media availability was, we talked to him. And he apologized for the situation being a distraction to his team. And at the time, it's like, wow, that's like, it's a high-character guy. He's not trying to make it a big deal. He's not trying to make it about him. He wants to focus on basketball. And I do believe the Kings have always had a very high character locker room. They've always had a lot of good guys on this locker room. I've always had good interactions with almost every single person. But when is somebody going to, like, put a shoulder into somebody or do something about it? Domantas Sabonis gets hit in the face on average like 6 times a game. I'm not wanting him to punch somebody back, but shove somebody, get in someone's face, say something, do something about it. I guess I'm disappointed not seeing that, Casey.
He's not built like that. That's not Domas. Domas isn't going to do that. And I don't know what that has to do with them defending. I don't know what that has to do with them going on cold streaks on the offensive end. I don't know what that has to do with them compounding mistakes with more mistakes that we were talking about a few minutes ago. Yeah. I feel like we always like to lean on dogs and toughness and do this because it's such this intangible quality. No, do your job better. Doug asked you to rebound. Doug asked you to share the basketball, and Doug asked you to defend. They don't do any of those.
Yeah.
Like Doug said that last night, those are the pillars of our, I know Scott Perry has his pillars. Doug has his too. Defend, rebound, and share the basketball. And they do, and I was a bit unfair to those guys because they do those things. Well, except rebound. They do not rebound at all. But share the basketball, defend, yeah, they do that. But to Doug's maybe ill-fated point last night is they don't do it all game, and they don't do it for enough of the game. And until they do, everyone talks about, oh, you got to play 48 minutes, man. That does not happen very often for any basketball team, but you're going to have to do it for more than 30. You're going to have to do it for more than 40. Yeah. You're going to have to do it for as close to 48 as you possibly can. And then you'll start winning some of these games. What changed for me last night is I'm just losing confidence that that's something they can actually do.
Yeah, I think where the toughness thing comes in for me and kind of that dog thing comes in for me, it's just what's your motivation? Because if they say, well, we're motivated to win, you're not showing it to me. Like every NBA player is motivated to win, but you're getting your paycheck regardless. And I'm not saying that these guys are intentionally not trying to win or anything like that, but clearly they're not. What Doug is essentially saying is they're not willing to give their all 100% of the time to do the little things that it takes to win and be successful in this league. And he's not talking about 21, 22, 23 year olds. He's talking about the third oldest roster in the NBA. So what is your motivation? And I think back to during media day and then once during training camp, DeMar DeRozan two separate times said, man, the narrative about how bad we're going to be pisses me off. Mm-hmm. Like DeMar said that a couple times. Well, it's not his fault, but the narrative is being proven right. So is that your motivation? Then shouldn't you look a lot more pissed off on the floor than you do when you're 1-4 to start the game and you're letting two games completely fall away from you? The Phoenix Suns game on game one, the Bulls game last night. Again, the OKC game, I can almost excuse. I don't want to, but I can almost excuse it because you played a really, really good game and then a championship team showed you what it takes to be a champion. Like that's what happened in that OKC game. I can live with that. But you lost to the shorthanded Lakers to a surprise to absolutely no one. You let Austin Reeves come in there and drop 50 on you. You barely beat the Utah Jazz. Thank God they were able to get that game. Like, what is motivating you to do better? Because if it's wins and losses, then I'm really concerned because you're going to have a bad record more than likely going back to Sacramento for the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday. The Kings are probably going to be 0-4 during this road trip. Hopefully they get one, but they're probably going to be 0-4, which means they're going into that Warriors game at 1-6. And it's Warriors, it's T-Wolves, Warriors, it's Thunder to open the NBA Cup, I believe. Then it's T-Wolves again, then it's Hawks to round out that homestand. Nuggets are in there as well. Like, what are we talking, a 1-4 homestand? Maybe you can get two of them? Like, what is motivating you? Because if it's wins and losses, you're going to be checked out by December.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and that's what we've talked about a number of different times, man. Like, how do you handle adversity, pretty much? How does this team handle adversity? Do they handle it at all? Maybe they're not tough enough mentally and emotionally in this situation. I know these guys have been in the league for a long time, so I'm not trying to disrespect them, but in this particular situation, maybe they just don't have it in them to handle adversity, to come together and to band together to try and keep this season afloat. They may check out early if we talk about wins and losses.
Yeah.
Well, great. As we mentioned, only 77 more games to go. The good news is, if you want to get a ticket to a Sacramento Kings game, you probably won't have an issue doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you have an issue now, to be honest. Warriors fans, we'll see you Wednesday. Drew Down, come on. Come hang out. It's probably tough to get into the Chase Center right now. You can come hang out with us out here. Get Uncle Loon and the rest of the crew together to come watch Kings basketball. I was really hoping they could correct against Chicago, obviously, because the schedule does get tough. Like, I try not to do the whole schedule thing because it just doesn't work like that.
Sure.
But it is working out the way many people predicted. So it's off to the start that a lot of people predicted. And unfortunately, some of the games that even they thought the Sacramento Kings would win are now behind them. So they've got Milwaukee coming up on Saturday. They got Denver coming up on Monday. As you mentioned, they come back. They'll take on the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday at the Golden One Center. But this is now something where Doug's, we can have our response to Doug Christie's comments last night. Doug has to catch the temperature of his team's response to his comments last night. Maybe they get it. Maybe they understand it. Maybe they're motivated by it. Maybe they're pissed off by it. But Doug's got 2 days to figure that out. And in a regular season where you don't really get a lot of practice time, they're going to have to get some practice time in here tonight or tomorrow and figure out how to correct those things that Doug was talking about the last two nights.
Yeah. I don't believe if you were to tell me like this roster quit on Doug, or I just don't believe it's going to happen. I don't believe they're capable of it. Like, I don't believe that should really ever.
I don't think so either.
Right. And I'm not saying you're, I'm just saying like, if anybody thinks like that's the path that we're headed, that Doug is, or because I see people joking like, oh, here comes the players only meeting. Like, I don't think it's going to get as bad as it got last season. I genuinely don't. Like, last season was a misnomer in just a lot of disconnect through a circus of junior high drama through a professional sports organization. I just do not think we're gonna get to that point. But
which is one of the main reasons I'm so surprised that they started 1-4.
Yeah.
Just roster wise, I thought they were better than that. Sorry, man.
And talent wise, they should be.
That's what I mean.
Like, that. And I think that's the part that's so perplexing is when you hear Doug talk about this team and talk about them needing to make these improvements. I think a lot of people cannot see past the average age and the experience of this roster, in particular, the experience of that starting lineup. And you just look at it and you're like, this team, like, these guys are common household names in this league, top to bottom. These guys have been here a long time. They know how to win. They know how to be successful. They know that everything that's coming from Doug as a former player is real, is true. But it's two things. It's the willingness to do it at 37 years old. I'm just using DeMar DeRozan as an example. 37 years old. He's had an incredible career. He came to Sacramento with an idea of how it was going to be, and it's turned out almost the complete opposite of what he expected. And here he is. Like, human nature, I would understand, no matter how much money he's being paid, human nature, I know I have days at my job that I really enjoy where I wake up and go, I don't want to, like, what's the point? Everybody has those days. And I don't think it, like, to suggest that professional athletes don't because they're being paid millions of dollars, especially through all the work they put their body through. Mm-hmm. I think that's naive. Now, that's not an excuse, but I'm just talking about the human nature element of that. There's that. There's the willingness to do it. And then there's the ability of this roster as a group to do it. And that's the part that I've never been able to get past is this roster just has never seemed cohesive. It wasn't cohesive last year. It's the problem I have with the Zach LaVine trade. Not that Zach LaVine was here or that De'Aaron Fox is gone even. It's what you traded De'Aaron Fox for and what you brought here and something that we have examples of not working in Chicago and we just decided to reassemble it here in Sacramento. Like, there's just always been this lingering issue with a lot of talent, lack of cohesion, and you can't really, with how talented the Western Conference is now, you can't really learn on the fly anymore. And how are we expecting 33, 34, 35, 36-year-olds to learn on the fly? They've learned everything there is to learn in this league. So those are the points that I have a hard time getting past.
Did you think that they were going to win that game going into it last night?
I did. I thought, like, hey, bottle up how you played in OKC. Play that same way. Second night of a back-to-back is not an excuse for me for two reasons. Number one, it's the fifth game of the season. Number two is, what did we hear day in and day out during training camp? We want to be the most well-conditioned team in the league. That's what they talked about. Players, Doug Christie, we want to be the most well-conditioned team. We are running this training camp so that we will be fit, so that we can outlast any opponent in any circumstance. We'll be tired, but we'll be comfortable being tired. That's all they talked about during training camp. I'm not going to let that fly out the window in the first set of back-to-backs, game five of the season. So the second night of a back-to-back wasn't an excuse for me. It wasn't a factor beyond the realities of tired legs and things of that nature. But this team has said they're supposed to fight through that. They're holding themselves to that standard. So that's the standard I think they should be held to. And then they played so well in OKC for so long And I thought that like Russ in the starting lineup looked really good and it worked. And I was thinking, okay, you play that way for 35, 40 minutes in Chicago, you should be in a great position to win that game, especially without Kobe White playing. So yes, Casey, I expected the Kings to win last night. Yeah, and then they went up by 12 and I really expected them to win.
To be clear, I never expect this team to win. I don't want to say I expected them, but it wasn't a game. I didn't know what to expect going into the Oklahoma City game at all. Mm. I kind of felt positive about going in. Like, I liked the way that they played against Oklahoma City. I didn't think they'd have to do much different, and I didn't think Chicago was a team that was just going to curb stomp them. So it was like, if they come out, I think they could play well in this one. It's, you know, that second half could be tough. They had no idea it'd be that tough. But I thought they could get it. They didn't. And now they got to regroup and play. I know and I understand that all of the attention is on Victor Wembanyama. Giannis Antetokounmpo is playing absolutely out of his mind right now. Like, yep. And think about that. This is a two-time MVP who easily could have three or four. They make the best player in basketball a clear-cut conversation with the big fella in Denver. Giannis is absolutely in this conversation, and he is putting up just absolutely unearthly numbers right now. And that's up next for Sacramento.
Yeah. So and cool. You, I mean, you've always thrown Keegan Murray to the Wolves with that defensive matchup, and Keegan's done the best that he can against Giannis, as if anybody on this planet can stop Giannis. You don't got Keegan either. Like, there's not a soul on this roster that I have any hope of really stopping Giannis, other than maybe they go 2-3 zone like they did in OKC and just hope that they can muck up the paint enough to where Giannis can't get downhill as much, and hope that the Bucks just don't shoot threes as well as they do. The good news is Brook Lopez is no longer on that team, so he can't kill you. But the Bucks are really talented basketball team, and I don't know who in the world's stopping Giannis. And then you got the Denver Nuggets, and everybody's talking about, it's Jokic. What is Jokic going to do? No. It's the Jonas Valanciunas revenge game. you salary dumped me? You salary dumped me? Here's 8 points and 6 rebounds on you.
I think they should just apologize and ask for him back.
I agree.
Try and get that trade rescinded.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, right now. Yeah.
They play Dario games, over guys.
It don't matter,
guys. It's too late. Look, guys, we changed our mind. Jonas, come back, please.
Poor Dario is just there with flowers.
In fact, do that Saturday while the game is going on in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and then Jonas plays for us. Probably starts on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it in advance. Yes.
I really wanted this to go better.
Yeah.
I did. But here we are. We should have some news on Nick Clifford pretty soon. I'd imagine we're maybe a week away from an update on Keegan Murray. I can't remember the exact timeline, but it's got to be pretty close.
At that point, it'd probably be about 3 weeks. So hopefully you get back.
Oh, no. If it's only 3 weeks, we're not even close, because the reevaluation was 4 to 6.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks. Oh, it was 17 games was the max. 10 games was the minimum. We're at 5. Oh. So we're talking midway through the homestand is the earliest that he would be reevaluated.
That'd be about next week, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, where are you at this weekend, Matt?
It's Halloween night, high school football. Halloween night. It's our final week of the regular season. I'm going to be up in Woodland. I'm going to be at Pioneer High School. Pioneer's taking on state champion Vanden Vikings. Winner secures a playoff spot. So,
God, man, we are that far into the we're the season yeah, almost man. Over.
Yeah.
So this is the last week.
Thanksgiving is around the corner.
Yeah, bro.
Yep.
Thanksgiving is like 3 weeks away.
That's wild. And then the basketball season will start the month after that.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad NBA will start it.
It'll start December 25th.
Hey, sex,
when
hey,
I guess no one's watching
what?
Anymore.
4 or 5 days? Four yeah, or five Tuesday, days when sex days begins?
The women
the
start
Mike Bibby
on Monday.
Era?
Women start on Monday. Boys start on Tuesday. Men start on Tuesday.
I saw some drone footage of the well, now the new gym. It looks nice. It looks really nice. I haven't been in there yet, but it looks really nice.
Good stuff.
Great stuff from our guy Matt George over at ABC 10 and the Locked On Kings podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.